Well, a group of Christians quite a while ago decided that the trail area needed a church. The earliest records indicate that in about 1927 or 28, and forgive me if I don't have all the details right because I'm weaving multiple accounts, nothing synthesized. So if I'm totally out to lunch, Lorraine or Ron, tell me later. But in 27 or 28, on land that was provided by the community through donations of labor and material, the Trail Assembly of God was built at the end of the current church driveway, where Barbara's house is with the white fence. Well, 1937, the right-of-way for a highway, the old Highway 227, which came down Old Trail Creek Road, was dedicated right through the property, and they had to split things up. Well, I don't know all the details, but in the late 1940s, the denomination decided to sell the land for a residence and move the church elsewhere. Well, that didn't sit well with the trail community, and a petition was circulated throughout the area protesting the situation. You may have seen a picture with a whole bunch of names and a little typewritten thing where basically all the who's who's of the trail area said, "No way, we want to keep the church here." They wrote, among other things, "This church was built by our community at large for use as a community church. We feel this property belongs to the trail community as a whole and not to one religious denomination to use for their own interests." That was a challenging time, but nevertheless, it led to the organization of Trail Community Church in 1949. The first pastor, I understand, was Wayne Miller, who was a Biola College graduate from LA. I think what happened is this little podunk church wrote a letter to Biola and said, "You got anybody that might be willing to come here?" And he said yes. The building burned down roughly around this same time, I think. And then the congregation began to meet in the old Trail Creek Schoolhouse, which is the overflow room and three quarters of the parsonage. Because what had happened was in District 45 consolidated with District 9, creating the Elk Trail School. If you go up to Elk Creek, you'll see the school that the trail school became part of. Well, in the early 1950s, the property was sold to the church for a very good price. I don't know if it was $1, $10, $50, but anyway, that's what happened. And they used the two-room schoolhouse as a church for quite some time. There are some old-timers in town that I bet said, "Oh yeah, I got a paddling, one is now your bedroom." I said, "Well, let's just say you're not the only one." But anyway, there's been some missionary kids that gone down that path too, but nevertheless, in 1959, a full basement was dug and the sanctuary was built. Many of you know we call that the bus barn that's building as you come up the driveway, because that used to be seated, I think, right about here, and it was where they kept the school bus. And so they got a bunch of logs. Loggers have big straight logs, know how to move stuff, and they rolled it down the hill Egyptian style, and it's been sitting down there for a long time. Well, there were lots of early church families, the Cushmans, Ash, Carltons, Johnson, Scott, Cuddy, Dusenberry, Crabble, Bedoin and Wagner, and Sanderson. And the first church board was elected in January 1951. Well, the early pastors were Wayne Miller, who came up from Biola, and then Joe Bedoin, Lewis Collins, Ernest Evers, John Kissy, and Waldo Tyndale. I don't know the exact details, but in 1973, this church contacted Village Missions and said, "Would it be possible to have a pastor supplied by them to come and faithfully preach God's word?" And a partnership was formed 50 years ago. Village Missions, of course, they're about helping and keeping country churches alive and thriving throughout North America. And their motto is, "Love the people and preach the word." Well, 12 Village Missionary couples have served since then. And in 2017, the church changed its name from Trail Community Church to Trail Creek Community Church, basically for three reasons. One, to kind of reflect its geographical location. Well, where is it? It's along Trail Creek. Everyone knows where that is. Also, to avoid a little confusion, Trail Christian Fellowship is a wonderful place, but it's a different one. We're on the same team, but everyone got us big trail, little trail just kind of got old after a while. And also to signify God was doing some wonderful new things. From my Old Testament survey class in seminary, there was a semester-long required project, and there were quite a few options. One girl wrote an Old Testament scripture song and sang it for the class. A couple of the guys got a hold of some high priest costumes from a church somewhere, and they offered a lamb for sacrifice. But what they did is they went to the thrift store, they found a stuffed lamb, made a slit, filled it full of SpaghettiOs, unbeknownst to the whole class. They offered some prayers, read some scripture passages. We got a big knife, and then they held it above a barbecue, and they slid it, and all the SpaghettiOs fell out. And that's what they did, and asked if anybody wanted lunch, and no one did. But anyway, well, eager beaver, overachiever me, on the other hand, chose to memorize 100 Old Testament verses that semester. That was a huge undertaking. And, you know, with my other projects, my tests, my seminary socializing, my work, being involved in ministry, it was a lot, but it was a good choice. And I memorized the Ten Commandments, a chapter of Proverbs, several Psalms, and one of them was Psalm 136. And initially I thought, oh, this is going to be great. Half of it's repetition. That'll at least cut me some slack on 26 verses. Well, truth be told, it was a little easier than tackling some other things, but it also was life-changing because over and over I'd needed to come back to that phrase. And it's kind of interesting. By chance, well, maybe not, I just happened to see that phrase right there on the wall, which is pretty cool. And we're going to be taking a look briefly at Psalm 136. And again, there's some repetition, but you know, it's powerful and good. And it begins, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of God. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords. His love endures forever." Well, this does seem a little repetitive. But you see, originally, I believe this psalm was used as a congregational song and prayer. So picture the people gathered before the temple in Jerusalem. Huge crowd standing, this beautiful building dedicated to God. And the worship leader would come out front and say the first half of the verse, and the whole crowd would echo the refrain. They knew what to do, and they had memorized it. We sometimes do responsive readings where I say something and then y'all respond. Well, this is what it was, and the people would respond. In 2 Chronicles 7, we get a little feel for what was going on. We read, "The Israelites knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, 'He is good. His love endures forever.' The priests took their positions, as did the Levites, with the Lord's musical instruments, which King David had made for praising the Lord. And when they were used, he gave thanks, saying, 'His love endures forever.'" It's fascinating. The people knew the lines, and so they could really concentrate on what was being said. And as they went through this passage, I imagine it grew louder and louder and stronger, much more so than even the apes on the river yesterday, which is another story. But anyway. But the NIV 84, which I memorized, says his love endures forever. The ESV says, "For his steadfast love endures forever." The King James, "For his mercy endureth forever." The Message, "His love never quits." The New Living Translation, "His faithful love endures forever." Really what it is interaction between us and God. God presents a situation, his love, his power, his creation, his goodness, his faithfulness, and we respond with praise and adoration and prayers. Worship is our response to who he is and what he's done. It's always God first. I'll paraphrase 1 John 4:19. We love God in worship because God first loved us. Well, every line in Psalm 136 says something about God. When the leader kicks off and says, "Give thanks to the God of gods," all the people know what's next. And it's almost like he's pausing the video. You ever do that? You're watching something. You press pause, and everyone's watching, and they're thinking it. But they know what's coming in this case. And it's like, God is good. He's done so much for me. He always wants the best for me. And then you press play again. His love endures forever. So the psalm begins with a call to praise in verses 1-3. He's going to say, it's time to praise, and this is why. So going back to the very beginning, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. All right, we'll stop there for now. But give thanks means to confess or to acknowledge. It's to stop and say, hey, let me tell you about my God. The interesting thing is there's a real key to the passage, and it's mentioned 26 times about his love. And the Hebrew tuner is hesed, and it means the Lord's loyal love. It's this unconditional love. It's mentioned 250 times in Scripture. God made a covenant with his covenant people, and he said, I'm going to make a promise to you, and since I'm God, I'm going to keep it. And guess what? He always has. When he promises to always love, that's what he always does. And everything he did for his people was based on his covenant, his word, his promise to them. He promised Noah and Abraham, Moses, David, and then he gave the new covenant. And he's made promises for us. I will never leave you or forsake you. I prepared a place in heaven for you. I have overcome the world. It's going to be okay. I am coming soon. Boy, that's a good one I'm looking forward to. Micah tells us, and it's kind of a summation of this, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You'll be true to Jacob and show mercy to Abraham as you pledged on oath to our fathers in days long ago. Everything God said he will do, eventually in his time, he will get it done. To endure means it's going to outlast the problems of life. In fact, it's going to outlast this life. It's going to transcend all our trials and tribulations, and it is going to go to eternity. That's good news. Wow, his love will endure. It will keep on going. Till next week, to the month after that, to the year after that, the next millennium, the next 3 trillion, whatever, after that years, it will just keep on going. But why are we to praise the Lord? As you look up there and you go, why should we praise him? Well, he truly is the supreme being in the universe, and he is good in what he does. He's the Lord. He's the creator. He's in charge, and he is good. And think about this. If he were not supreme, we wouldn't want to worship him. And if he was supreme, but he wasn't good, would you really trust him? But note, he is the Lord and he is good. We can trust him. And therefore, the right response is to say, yay, God. I guess you could put it that way. You know, we're going to go on to see that there may be other gods, there may be other lords, small g, small l. There may be other human rulers, but there is none like God, no one who compares. So after this call to worship, he then gives us cause. He says, this is what I want you to do. And why? Beginning in verse 9, because God created. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights,
his love
the sun to govern the day, the moon and stars to govern the night. If nothing else, I'm hoping when you go home from today and they say, well, what did the pastor talk about? Okay, we're on the right track at least. That's a good sign. Well, the point here in this passage is not to wrestle with all the intricacies or how did creation come about, but the fact is that God did. And it's to go, wow, Lord, you made this and that and that and that and everything else. We are in awe of you. And they were made by his understanding. I looked and I looked and looked, and I don't see anything about random chance and gas globules and dust nodules coming together spontaneously out of nothing. No, God made them. The universe came into being because God willed it. Hebrews 11 says, by faith we understand the universe was formed at God's command so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. God's to be praised, not only because he creates, but also because he controls all. And he is in control of all things. He's in complete charge of all nations, peoples, nature, you name it. And he directs them for the good of his people. Isn't that amazing? He is working for our good and his glory, even in the midst of the most difficult and hard situations. We have a call to praise, and why? Because he creates, and next, from 10 to 22, because he controls. He is in control. We read in verse 10, to him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, to him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, to him who led his people through the desert, who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as an inheritance, an inheritance to his servant Israel. Now that does not tell every single detail of what God did to bring the people out of Egypt from slavery into the promised land, but that's a pretty good summary. He split the Red Sea. He did a number on Pharaoh. He gave victory over the kings who were in the land who didn't want Israel to come in. And why? Because God is in control of all things and was working for the good of his people, and because his love endures forever with those he makes a covenant with. What incredible beauty this is. You know, and sometimes the people weren't faithful. You know, when they got in the desert, they whined, they moaned, they complained. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted leeks and onions instead of the manna God provided. It didn't matter what God did, they would complain. But God's love didn't quit on them. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling with, God's love won't quit in you either. If you belong to him, and if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, if you realize that he's the only Savior, and it's only through trust in what Jesus did for you, then you're his, and his love rests upon you. This is good news, and his love will keep going and going and going, on and on and on forever. Well, what God did for the people of ancient Israel, he does for people now. And that almost gets us to the end, but not quite, because we still have God cares. God cares for his people. He remembers them. He frees them. He feeds them. Verse 23, to the one who remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies and who gives food to every creature. This is good news. And then we've got a conclusion to this psalm. I mean, we could go into great detail, but we've had a packed morning already. It comes back to verse 26. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Our God who has worked in the past is working in the present. And guess what? He's working in the future. God gives, we respond. He gave Jesus. And by faith, by his grace, we respond and say, we need a Savior. And he says, I'm it. I will take your sin. I already have. Upon myself, and you can be mine. You know what? Maybe you're feeling kind of in a low estate. Maybe you're feeling like you're back in Egypt. Things are a struggle. Things are hard. Your body's not functioning how you want it to. Your bank account, your job, whatever the situation. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. What if you don't have enough food? What if you don't feel like you're experiencing his blessing? What if you're going, I'm kind of waiting around, Lord? Well, one thing you can do is remember, this is a corporate psalm. This was all the people together praising the Lord. If you're not feeling the love, kind of to put it one way, did you hear people praising earlier today? Join in with them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and hopefully they'll mourn with those who mourn as well. But this is, we're the people of God. He has done great things for us. Whatever you're facing now, it will pass if it's hard, and God will be there. Well, God has been faithful to our church through all these years. There's been joys and sorrows. There's been world events and local tragedies. People have come and gone, but through it all, God's love has endured. You know, whatever we face in the future, we can count on him being there. His loyal love, his utter and complete faithfulness will not let us down. Why? His love endures forever. Let me encourage you, repeat it. Memorize it. Write it down. Stick it on your refrigerator. Put it on your dashboard. Put it on your phone. Put it on your workbench, your mirror. Tell those around you, your spouse, kids, your friends, your neighbors, the jerk who cuts you off in traffic. His love endures forever. It probably will work, I guarantee it. You know, as one pastor put it, when the devil starts whispering in your ear about what a loser you are, you tell that old scratch to hit the road because his love endures forever. When you've had all you can take and the world seems to collapse around you, stand up, lift your head, shout to the skies, his love endures forever. No matter what you're going through this week, his love endures forever. No matter what your problems, no matter how you feel about them, no matter what happens to the church, and guess what? The gates of hell won't prevail against the church as a whole because God is God, and that's going to be true in the next 50, 75 years and on into eternity. God can't change, and neither will his love. So no matter what we're going through, his love endures forever. Thank you, Lord God. We can count on you. Help us to be those weak that you can count on, but Lord, even when we are faithless, you remain faithful. You cannot deny yourself. Lord, remind us that it's your love
for us, for the world, for your people, that goes on, that will persevere, that can take us through, that is good and solid and secure and everlasting. We are amazed that you are a God and we are your people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.